Chapter 7. The Non-Date. The following week, I wrote to Camilla Trainer. I just said that I was back in the UK and would be in her area in a few weeks' time with a friend. I would like to say hello, if possible. I kept thinking about how she would react to the news of Lily. Would it help her grief a little? I also emailed Nathan about Lily. The answer came back.
Well, the old dog. He still had some surprises for us then.
Mr. Trainer called me twice during that time. He wanted to try again with Lily, he said. Then he called at 6:30 one morning to tell me excitedly that Della had had a baby girl. He wanted to speak to Lily. I passed her the phone and watched her, sleepy and silent, as he gave her the news. Okay, she said finally, and then, yeah, sure. She handed the phone to me, then turned and went back to bed. I was pouring wine for two men who were waiting to board their flight, when a familiar paramedic's uniform appeared at the bar of the Shamrock and Clover. Sam smiled. Ah, that lovely green uniform. And that wig is interesting. I pulled at my green shirt and smiled. Would you like a coffee? Thanks, but I can't stay long, he replied. We came here to treat someone who thought that they were having a heart attack. Then I remembered that you worked at the airport. It was easy to find you in those clothes. I made him a quick coffee and tried not to look as pleased as I felt. So, did you save his life? I asked. I gave her some pills and told her not to drink four coffees before 10 a.m. I laughed and passed him his cup. So, I was wondering, he said, would you like to go on another non-date sometime? What were you thinking of? Dinner at mine? Tonight? I smiled. Okay. Sam opened a bottle of wine and poured me a glass while he cooked pasta. I sat watching him, telling myself that it was okay to enjoy myself. I didn't need to feel guilty. Where's Jake tonight? I asked, drinking my wine. He shrugged. I don't know. Probably at his girlfriend's. He handed me a bowl of hot pasta. Cheers, he said, lifting his glass. Now, what's happening with this teenager of yours? It was a huge relief to have someone to talk to about Lily. Sam didn't tell me what he thought. He just listened and nodded and poured more wine. It's a good thing that you're doing, he said, finally. It was so nice being with him. He seemed twice as large as other men. I kept thinking about his eyes as he listened, his huge hands resting on the table. I remembered how gently he had held my hand in the ambulance. Suddenly, I stood up and leaned over the table. I reached for the back of his head and kissed him. For a moment, he paused, and as he kissed me back, I stopped worrying about what this was. Come on, live, I told myself. I kissed his face, my fingers in his soft, dark hair, until all thought left me. I was alive only to what I wanted to do to him. An hour later, my bones sang, and I ached in places that I hadn't known could ache. Yet I was filled with a great peace. I turned my head to stare at Sam's beautiful sleeping face. And then I realised. Oh my God! I thought, I've become one of them!